I've been in ministry for more than 30 years, my whole entire life. No, I'm not 30 years old. I'm 41. But I have been in, I've been blessed to have a heritage in ministry. My great uncle, my great grandmother's son, penned the song Hallelujah. Anybody know that song? Hallelujah. If you go back to the 1940s, you'll find an old Church of God hymnal, red hymnal, or it might have been a green one. You'll see his name in there, Fred V. Barker Jr., and that song is in there. Now, he was a stubborn Barker. His name was Barker, and he was a stubborn man. I get it honestly. Nobody else stubborn in here, huh? Nobody? Okay. And so he tried to copyright the song, and they said, you cannot copyright a single word, because there was no other word in there but just hallelujah. So he said, well, I'm not changing it because that's how the Lord gave it to me. I'm not going to add anything to it at all. So he didn't add anything to it. And I think years later, somebody got the song and added, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thou art worthy. Thou, you know, all these things. And then they actually got the copyright for the song. But if you'll go back to the 1940s, you'll see that my great uncle actually penned that song, Hallelujah. He used to lead worship for Oral Roberts and Vep Ellis. I don't know if any of you guys know who that is. But anyway, I come from a long, rich heritage of ministry. And when I was about 4 years old, I was sitting in a restaurant with my mother and dad and a room full of people from church after church. We were going out to eat. You know how church people like to eat after church. And so I was about 4 years old. My mother tells the story that the waitress came up to me and she said, so what are you going to be when you grow up? And she said, I put my hands on my hip at 4 years old. And she said, well, I guess I'm just going to have to be a preacher. That's all I've ever known my whole life. And so I'm honored to be able to stand behind a pulpit. I'm honored to be able to stand in the house of God and feel the presence of the Lord. I'm honored to be in amongst people that love to worship the Lord. I'm a worshiper by heart. That's what I do. I love to worship God. And I'll get on a piano and I'll begin to sing and I'll begin to worship the Lord. And almost everywhere I go, I usually have to get on a piano and just kind of set the tone of the atmosphere that I want for the house when before I minister. But every time I've been here, I haven't had to do that because you guys are such a worshiping church. And I just want to say I appreciate that about you today. Would you give yourselves a great big hand today for being worshipers of the Lord? Amen. Pastor Sean was talking up there just a few minutes ago, and the Lord kind of redirected me this morning. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter 77. I won't be keeping you very long, so what that means is that buckle up, because we're going to be here a long time. Been in ministry my whole life. Anytime I've ever heard a preacher say, I'm not going to keep you very long, they've always kept us very long. Amen? So my wife told me the other day, she said, why don't you try to stop saying that will keep us as long? And I said, okay, I'll try it, but I didn't. Psalms chapter 77, in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. David said, I cried out to God with my voice. To God with my voice, and He gave ear to me in the day of my trouble. I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God, and I was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Now, drop down to verse number 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Has His mercy ceased forever? Has His promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Verse 10. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old, and I will meditate on all of your work and talk of your good deeds. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word this morning. I thank you that we have the opportunity to be in your house this morning, and I expect you to do great things in this place today. Lord, I know that if we come with great expectation, Lord, that always receives impartation. And so, Lord, we have an expectation of what's going to happen today and expect you to impart, Lord, lives, seeds in our lives. We expect you to impart the wisdom of God into our lives and into our hearts today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you today about a subject that I get in trouble sometimes when I talk about this. I've preached this message before, and I entitled this message, "What Side of the Butt Are You On?" A lot of people are offended by that because they think that I'm talking about their posterior, but I'm not. What side of the butt are you on? Look here in verse number 10. He says this, "This is my anguish." He's talked about all the things that he's asked the questions about. God, have you forgotten to be gracious to me? Have you shut up your bowels of mercy? Have you forgotten about me? Are you mad at me? Which symbolizes unbelief in his life. He's wondering, God, what's going on? Anybody ever been in that situation before? Anybody ever questioned God? Anybody ever said, God, are you upset with me? How come my enemies are being more blessed than I am? How is it that Brother Long Tongue gets to do more in church than I do? How is it that Sister Bucket Mouth gets to do more things? How come she's the head greeter and I'm not? You understand what I'm talking about? We're always complaining about things. You know, we're always complaining. We call it praying. Most of the times when we pray, we're calling it praying, but it's really complaining. We pray to God saying, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? Oh, I need this, and I don't understand why this is going on. The Lord spoke to me one time, and he said, you know what your problem is? I said, no. He said, you know what your problem is? He said, there's still too much of you and not enough of me. That's the problem with all of us. There's still too much of our flesh. There's still too much of us and not enough of him in our life. And so David is sitting here saying, he's saying, Lord, have you cast off forever? Will you be no favorable to me anymore? Has your mercy ceased? Are you mad at me? Have you forgotten to be gracious? In anger, have you shut up your tender mercies toward me? He said, this is my anguish. He said, I remembered the Lord and I was troubled. I had a hard time believing that sometimes. I'm thinking, how can you remember the Lord and be troubled? Because in your heart, you're thinking, I'm remembering you, Lord. But here's the thing. It seems like everything around me is being more successful than I am. I don't understand it. I've served you my whole life. I've lived for you my whole life. I've done what you've called me to do, doing what you've called me to do. But it still seems like that everybody else is more successful than I am. I remember the Lord and I was troubled. But in verse 10, he says this, but I will choose to remember the years of the right hand. My question to you this morning is this. What side of the butt do you live on? Are you living on the side that says, I don't understand why it's taking so long? I don't understand why everything's going wrong in my life? I don't understand why everything is taking place the way that it is in my life? And you live in a spirit of complaint or a spirit of wondering? Let me submit this to you this morning. When you constantly wonder if God's going to do what he said he was going to do, you'll find yourself begin to wander away from faith. When you wonder in your mind, you'll begin to wander from your faith, and then your faith will begin to waver. Man, that's good. Somebody needs to tweet that. Wonder, wander, and waver. The more you think if God's going to do, the more you think, I wonder if God will. Hear me? I wonder if God, I know God said that this was happening, but it doesn't seem like it is. I wonder if he's forgotten me. But David said, but I will choose to remember the goodness of the Lord. I will choose to remember. Pastor Sean was talking about it. The distractions in our life. The enemy will put distractions in your heart. He'll put distractions in front of you to keep you from focusing on what God is doing in your life. There are all kinds of distractions that will enter your heart and enter your mind. Isn't it amazing that when you finally decide to take some time to pray and be in the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden your grandchildren just decide to show up. all day I felt in my heart, and oh, I just got to go spend some time with the Lord. You know, my wife doesn't ever want to go watch the movie. She don't ever like to go to the movie. She works hard. She comes home. She wants to relax and not go out again. I'm thinking, well, when she comes home, I'll say hello to her. I'll go down and I'll spend some time with the Lord. This day, she comes home. Hey, let's go watch a movie. Distractions. You see, the enemy will bring distractions into your life. Doesn't mean that they're of the devil. Doesn't mean that your wife is of the devil. You understand? It doesn't mean that your husband is of the devil. So don't go rebuking your wife or your spouse. Hello? I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You can't do that. But you have to understand that the enemy will use people that you love the most to bring the most distraction into your life. Well, my mother would never say anything to hurt me. No, she wouldn't in her own mind. But the enemy will use her words and twist it in your own mind. Every battle that you face in your life is a battle of your mind. Someone can say something to you and the enemy will get in your mind and you'll begin to reconstruct what they said to make it negative in your life. That's a distraction. David said, I remembered God and I was troubled. But he said, I choose to remember the good things of the Lord. God wants to bring victory into your life. He wants you to have a life that is victorious. Can you say amen? He wants you to be victorious in every area of your life and avoid the distractions in your life. Stop focusing on the thing that's in front of you and start believing on the thing that's inside of you. I'll say that again. Write it down. Stop focusing on the thing that's in front of you and start believing in the thing that's inside of you. What is inside of you? The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power to overcome the enemy. God's given you a promise that He's going to cause you to overcome and be victorious in your life. But what side of the butt are you living on? Are you still living in negative? Are you still living in, I don't think that I'll ever be? I don't know why God's doing this. Why is God allowing this to take place? Most of the things that we blame God for or blame the devil for is usually our own making. I don't want to have a pity party for the devil, but sometimes he gets blamed for things that has nothing to do with him. Amen? I don't know why the devil's attacking my body and causing me to have this. He's not attacking your body. You're eating the wrong things. That's causing the things happening in your body. Has nothing to do with the devil. It's about your choice, what you're doing in your life, your decision. You know, the Lord spoke something to me several years ago that really shook me to my core. He said, stop asking me to do things that I have already authorized you to do. God, I want healing. I've already given you healing. I've authorized you to walk into it. Can you say amen? He wants you to be victorious in your life, but you can't live on the wrong side of the butt. You've got to decide to be on the other side and say, yes, I know that everything is going wrong in my life, but this day I choose to remember. I choose to remember. What is it that I'm remembering? I'm remembering the good things of the Lord. I'm remembering how He healed my body in 1969. I remember how He saved my soul in 1973. I remember when my family was lost, but God saved him in one night in a revival setting. I'm remembering, I'm recalling those things in my life. We see that in David. David did that as well. Turn with me, if you would, a First Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's go there just for a minute. Would y'all be terribly offended if I took this jacket off? All right. I might even unbutton my top button. How about that? Just feel at home here. Give me a recliner. I'll preach from a recliner. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's begin reading in verse number 33. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. In other words, he's saying, you're just a young man. You're just young. Anybody ever said that to you? I've been in ministry my whole life. And I would get very, ambitious in what I was trying to do for the Lord. And they'd just say, well, he's just young. He'll learn at some point. And so here he says, you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and went out after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by the beard. Now I want you to think about that just for a moment. Anybody ever seen a lion in real life? You ever been to the zoo and see a lion? Even the female lions that don't have the big mane, they're still big and they're still ferocious. Can you imagine a lion come running up against you and you just reach up and grab him by the beard and slay him? That's knowing who you are in God, isn't it? I'd like to see someone today reach up and grab a lion by the beard and slay him. They couldn't do that in their own natural ability. They had to be empowered by God. So here David is, he's recalling the stories of how God brought victory into his life. He's going before Saul and he's saying, I understand that you say that I'm not able to do this. I understand that in the physical realm I might not be able, but I'm not just operating in the physical. I've got a spiritual and supernatural authority inside of me. The natural says I can't take it, but the supernatural says I can make it in Jesus' name. David is recalling these things in his life. He's saying there came a bear at one point and I took care of him. There came a lion at one point and I took care of him. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be the same. He's prophesying in this story to his day. He tells Goliath, he says, this day will I take your head off. Can I submit to you today that you need to start talking to your day as if you would talk to a paid employee? How many's ever had somebody work for you? Through people, praise God. How many's ever been employed by someone? How many knows that when your boss is paying you and he tells you to do something, you're supposed to do it? Is that right? Well, you need to start talking to your circumstances as though they are your paid employees. Satan, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to take place today. You're going to do this today. And then begin to talk to your day and start prophesying to it and saying, today is the day that I will succeed in the presence of the Lord. Today is the day that I'll have everything that God has promised me. Today is the day that I take off the enemy's head. So David is recalling those things. There came a lion and I killed him. There came a bear and I killed him. So now I'm faced with the biggest opposition in my life, the largest problem that I've ever had in my life. I'm faced with it today. But instead of shrinking back from it, the Bible says that David ran toward the enemy in the story of David and Goliath. The Bible says that he ran toward. Running, swinging his slingshot, he ran toward the enemy. Your faith was never designed to run away from a battle. Your faith was designed to confront a battle. Somebody write that down. Your faith wasn't designed to run from a battle. Your faith was designed to confront a battle. It's amazing to me that we give all the power to the devil. I've been in church my entire life. Born on Thursday and in church on Sunday morning. And that's not funny. That's the truth. That sounds like a joke, but it's really the truth. I was born on a Thursday afternoon, and on Sunday morning, my mom was playing the piano, playing the organ in the church on that Sunday morning. I've been in church my entire life. And I've heard people preach this passage of Scripture that says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, you've heard that, right? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. How many knows that punctuation is not inspired by God? That's got man's hand on it. Punctuation is not inspired by God. So instead of saying when the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Let's say when the enemy comes in, comma, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard up against him. You understand? Like a flood. We give the power to the devil. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he's got all the power. Then the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. But that's not the way we should visualize it. We should look at it as though when the enemy comes in, then like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You have to change your perspective. You have to change your focus. Stop focusing on what's in front of you and start believing on what's inside of you. The power of God is on the inside of you. The anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ is on the inside of you. How dare us sit there and act like that we serve a weak God when we serve a God that's all powerful, and heaven and earth belongs to Him. Healing belongs to you. Deliverance belongs to you. Victory belongs to you. Glory to God. Victory is yours in Jesus' name. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, you got the biggest victory in your life. You have victory over death. I'm not afraid to die because I know to be absent from this life is to be present with the Lord. Forgive me, I'm getting a little excited. David said, I believe, I remember what God has done in my life. Therefore, I'm going to be victorious in my life because I'm remembering what He did for me. The thing of it is, when we get a battle in front of us, we start caving immediately. I said this the other day very strongly. The Spirit of the Lord came up out of me and I began to speak it in a church service that I was at prophetically. And when I get in the prophetic anointing, I tend to get bold. And so I begin to talk and I begin to say, why is it that we as Christians can go to a doctor's house or doctor's office and a doctor give us a bad report like cancer? We take that report and then we run with that report. We immediately call our family. We immediately go to the funeral home, call the funeral director. We immediately start making preparation for the end of our life because that's what the doctor said. Yet a man of God will stand up behind a pulpit and tell you that you will not die, but you'll live and declare the works of the Lord, and we sit there. Because we believe what the report of the enemy is saying more than we believe what the report of the Lord is saying. We see it in our life every day. The enemy says this and we believe it. Hook, line, and sinker, we believe it. We even start talking about it. Well, the doctor said this. The doctor said that. My lawyer said this. My real estate agent said I'd never sell my house. My banker said I'd never get the kind of credit that I need to start my business. You hear what I'm saying? We constantly talk about what the enemy is saying, but yet, well, Lord have mercy. I've been in church my whole life. I keep saying that. I would have people stand up and testify in church. Anybody ever been in a testimony service? It's the scariest thing in the world for a minister. That's the truth. Somebody stand up and say something good about Jesus. I'll stand up. Well, you know, the devil's just been fighting my house. My kids living like hell. They're trying to bring it in my house. And they're trying to do... No, wait a minute. I said say something good about Jesus. Say something good about the Lord. And all of a sudden, it's a Porky Pig anointing that gets on them. You can't say anything good about the Lord because all you're focusing on is what's negative in your life. David is saying, here, I understand, Lord, that I'm asking you, have you forgotten about me? I understand that there are bad things that's going on in my life. I understand that I've gotten a bad report from the doctor, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remember what God said about me. I'm going to remember that He said that I am the healed of Christ, that I am a whole person. I'm not broken, but I'm a whole person. You have to remember what God has said in your life. Choose to remember. Rehearse the testimonies of yesterday to help you with the challenges of today. That's what David did. He's faced with a Goliath. He's faced with a giant. And he sits there and he says, you know what? I remember there was a time that a lion came up to my sheep that I was watching. And I killed that lion. I remember another time that there was a bear that came up in that flock, and I grabbed a hold of that bear and took care of business with him too. You think for one second that the same God that delivered me out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear won't deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine? He was confident in his faith in God. He was confident in what God said that he would do in his life. You have to remember that the promises that God has given you are just as real as what he's already done for you. You might not see them right now, but that doesn't mean that they don't exist. The promises that God promised you are just as real as what God has already done for you. You just have to remember that. You have to remember what God has done in your life. Well, he hasn't done very much. Are you alive today? Are you breathing today? Do you have a house today or apartment? Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have a job? I don't care if it is at McDonald's. Do you have a job? At McDonald's, you get $15 an hour now. Praise the Lord. Oh, I got to be careful. I get into politics now. Scratch that from the recording. You've got a job. Well, the Lord's given it to you. You have a lot to be thankful for. God's done great things in your life. He's going to continue to do great things in your life. But you have to rehearse the testimonies of yesterday to confront the challenges of today. I said it a moment ago, if God healed your body in 1985, he can heal your body in 2019. If God saved your children in 1970, he can save your grandchildren in 2019. The same God that was back then is the same God as today. The only difference is that our perspective or our focus has changed. As our society, I was watching a movie the other day. I hope y'all don't hold that against me. I was watching a movie the other day, or actually it was a television show. And it was about a guy that went back in time. And he went back to the 1960s. And when he went there, he sat down at this diner. And he ordered a piece of, I think it was lemon box pie. And when he took a bite of that pie, now he was a young boy, he's probably in his 20s. And so he's in 1960. And he takes a bite of that lemon meringue pie is what it was. Lemon meringue pie. And he took a bite of it and he went, man, that's not lemon meringue pie. And the guy said, oh yeah, it is. That's an actual lemon meringue pie. What you're used to eating in 2019 is not really a lemon meringue pie, but we have gotten adjusted to the fake. Oh, man. We have got, that's right, we've got conditioned to the dark. There's a singing group called the McCameys that used to sing a song, we're getting used to the dark. We're getting used to the dark. We're not trying to change any hearts. We're just getting used to the dark. And that's the truth. The world has slowly started infiltrating our churches. Instead of the churches influencing society, it's become backwards. Society has started to influence our churches. The thing of it is, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Now, his methods change. His methods do change. Don't get stuck in what God did yesterday and forget and miss what he's doing right now. Now listen, there's a balance in everything that I'm saying here. I don't want you to think that I'm on one side or the other. I'm right in the middle here. I can go to churches up in the Appalachian Mountains in West Virginia, and you would swear that you walked back into the 1970s. Everything's exactly the same. The same woman's going to stand up, give the same tongue, and give the same interpretation that she did when I was a little boy. Hasn't changed, hasn't grown, hasn't done anything. That's not right. You got to forsake those things. The methods have changed. But you also have to be very careful that you don't get caught up into what's currently trending in the world. Just because a church can get thousands of people to come and be entertained on a Sunday morning doesn't mean that the true Spirit of the living God is operating in that service. You understand that? So here David is saying, I remember what God used to do in my life. I remember the times that I've been at His right hand. I remember the times that God has healed my body. I remember the times that God saved my soul, delivered me out of my situation. I remember those times, so therefore I'm not afraid of what's in front of me. I'm not afraid of what's going on in my life because I know who I'm serving. Can you say amen? David knew what it was like to walk in a valley. He knew what it was like to have his brothers hate him. He knew what it was like to be pursued by a jealous leader that God had rejected. David knew some things about being in the valley. He knew that Saul was wanting to kill him at one point in his life. He knew about being mocked by his own wife. You remember the story when he brought the tabernacle back into Jerusalem? And he decided that he wanted to give God praise with everything that he had. So he stripped himself of his royal ephod, took his king clothes off, and began to dance. Yeah! And his wife looked at him from a high place. Looked down at him. Micah was her name. And she looked down at him. And the Bible says that she despised him in her heart. Because she was royal. You know, because of that, God made her barren. Be careful how you put your hands to someone that's really worshiping and praising God. Be careful how you talk about those people. Be careful what you say about those people, because God can judge you on what you say toward His anointed. Touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. He knew what it was like to be robbed and pillaged when he was at battle, out working for the Lord, doing the battle that God called him to do. And he came back and an enemy had taken everything that he wanted. Everything that he had. Stolen everything that he had from him. And his own men were ready to turn on him and kill him. But David also knew something about remembering the goodness of the Lord. He remembered when it was what it was like to be anointed in front of those brothers that hated him. He remembered when God anointed him in front of his family that didn't necessarily like him. They called him a shepherd boy. You're just a delivery boy. Here, go down there and give your brothers some cheese. You're a delivery boy. But God said, you're the deliverer of Israel. Can you say amen? Amen. David knew what it was like to be anointed in front of those kids or in front of those family. He knew what it was like to be held by the people over King Saul. He said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. You understand when David took Goliath's head off that day in that battle? That there was immediately in that process at that time, right there, there was an immediate change of administration. David at that moment started to walk in what God had anointed him for years prior. There's a lesson to be learned in that as well. Don't be weary in well-doing. When God has promised you something, you might not see it immediately. But you have to walk through some things. You have to continue your journey. You have to continue walking and doing what God's told you to do before you actually receive the promise. Most of the time, it's between the promise that's been given to you and the promise that's accepted by you. And in between there is usually when we lose our way. God told Abraham, I'll make you the father of many nations. Abraham wasn't the father of anybody. Didn't have a child. Didn't have a son. Did not have a child. But yet God said he would be the father of many nations. Years and years and years and years went by. Years went by. Till his wife said, hey, why don't we go ahead and try to help God out? Anybody ever done that? Lord, I know you told me to get right there. This is a quicker way. Let me go this way. That's not the way I want you to go, son. I'm going to try to go that way anyway. We get ourselves messed up. Sarah told Abraham, hey, let's help God out. He's promised this. We might need to do something about it. Go in there and get with the wrong woman. Have the wrong baby. Got in the wrong tent, had the wrong baby with the wrong woman. And today, Everything that we see happening in the Middle East right now is a direct conflict because of what that decision was in Abraham. So finally, years went by to where Abraham's body was dead. The Bible says in Romans, he says that he considered not his own body now being dead, meaning that he did not have the ability to produce children or seeds. But nevertheless, he staggered not at the promises of God. The point I'm making to you today is this. God's promised you something. He's given you a word. He's given you a promise. Hold on to that thing. Do not let anything take it away from you. Don't let a person try to get you away from believing in that promise. But you begin to give that promise to God and say, Lord, you've given it to me. I'm giving it back to you and I'm going to serve you. I'm going to walk with it in Jesus' name. David remembered God. I remembered the times that I was at his right hand. I remember the times of his faithfulness to me. I remember the times that yes, the enemy stole everything that I had, but I also remember, Lord, when I prayed to you and I said, Lord, shall I pursue these people and overtake them? The Lord said, pursue, overtake, and overcome. Recover all. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. That's what the Lord is telling you to do. Yes, I know the enemy's trying to fight you, but I'm telling you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But it's up to you to release that he that's inside of you. I was praying one day and the Lord spoke that to me. He said, that scripture, we use it all the time in our church services. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But what good does it do if the you doesn't release the he? Greater is he that is in me. But if I keep that he all up inside of me, it ain't doing anybody else any good. You have to choose to release that he in your life. He is greater than anything else. You release that into your life. Greater is he that is in me. So therefore, this me is going to release God into this world. Pursue, overtake, recover. God wants you to remember the good things in life. He wants you to remember the times that you've spent at his hand. He wants to remember the times that he healed your body. I was praying last year, probably around October. I've prayed since then, by the way. But I was praying around October, I think late October. And I was praying and the Lord spoke something to me and he said, my people long for manifestation, but I deal in power. I said, what does that mean exactly? He said, my people long or expect or look for manifestation. We look for healing in our body. We approach God and say, Lord, please heal me because I'm sick. But the Lord doesn't want you to approach Him in that mindset. Because just because you have a sickness in your body doesn't mean that you are a sick person. And the Lord has to break things down for me because I'm simple-minded sometimes. Ain't nobody in here like that, is there? All right, I'm the only simple one in here. Praise the Lord. It's a good thing I got the microphone teaching y'all the simplistic ways, huh? The Lord has to break things down for me sometimes. And so he said, you're a man. I said, yes, sir. I don't have any problems with my identity. I'm a man. And he said, when you're sick, do you become a woman? I said, no. I do not. When you're sick, do you become a woman? You're a woman. When you're sick, do you become a man? No, you might be grouchy like a man, but you ain't a man. Just play. I know some men that are whiny like women when they get sick. Baby, would you bring me a please? I can't bring me a glass of water. But the Lord said, when you're sick, do you become a woman? I said, no, because it's your identity. You're a man. It doesn't matter. If you're sick, you're still a man. Well, you and I, as the body of Christ and a believer of Christ, when we accepted Jesus into our life, we no longer were sick people, but now we're healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's a part of our DNA. It's a part of our identity. It's who we are. We are healed. So don't approach the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, please manifest healing for me." Instead say, "Lord, I'm already healed by your stripes, but I'm just dealing with this sickness and I want to walk in divine healing in Jesus' name." You have to begin to think differently in your life. Approach things differently in your life. You're not a broken person, but you're a whole person that's dealing with brokenness. You're not a sick person. You are a healed person that is dealing with sickness. You hear what I'm saying to you? You're not a poor person, but you're a rich person that's dealing with some poverty issues. Oh, here he goes talking about money. I wasn't talking about money, but thanks for bringing it up. See, we say rich, we automatically think money. We're rich in love. We're rich in peace. We're rich in wisdom. We're rich in relationships. We're rich. We're prosperous in everything that we have. I've got news for you. You might not like America. There's a lot of people in America that don't like America today. But America's still the greatest country in the world. It's still the most prosperous country in the world. The poorest person in America is still living better than those in third world countries. That's just the truth. Why? Because America has put God first. We've tried to put God first in everything that we do. There's a lesson in that. If you'll put God first, there ought to be a scripture in the Bible that says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then everything that you need will be added unto you." That should be in the Bible. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is it that He wants you to do? Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. I'm not a singer. You don't have to be. I love what you said. It doesn't matter if you're up here on the pulpit or not. We've trained our brains to think that ministry is only behind a pulpit or platform ministry. You can be a beautician and be a minister for God. Making ladies feel like women again. A mom, three kids pulling on her every side. Stress to the max. Working at home, doing whatever, working a job, still trying to take care of the kids. All these kind of things. They just need a few minutes. Thank God for lovely beauticians. Let me go get my hair did. Let me put on my Lee press-on nails. Make me feel like a woman again. Now, I'm saying that woman said that, not me. I don't want to feel like a woman. I'm good. But you understand, the ministry is not just about pulpit. Ministry is not just about platform. Matter of fact, only about 10% of ministry is from behind a pulpit. The only 90%, the other 90% of ministry is coming outside of these walls. I got news for you. A pastor doesn't beget sheep. Sheep beget sheep. Simple. See, I told you, I'm simplistic. The shepherd doesn't beget a sheep. The other sheep do. It's less about being a minister behind a pulpit and more about being a minister from inside the seat. Walking out, talking about the goodness of the Lord. What's God done for me today? Here's what He did for me. He did this and He did that. And He's done this and He's done that. You know, you always find what you look for. Let me give you an illustration of that. I have a bad habit of looking for hair in my food. I have a really bad habit of looking for hair in my food. You know what I always find in my food? Always seem to find hair in my food. But you know why? Because I look for it. Every bite. Is there anything in that? Oh, nope, there's something there. Because I'm looking for it. Here's what the Lord wants to say to you. Stop looking for the enemy in your life and start looking for God in your life. Look, none of us are exempt or immune from the persecutions of the enemy. We're going to have persecutions. We're going to have the enemy come into our life. But we don't have to search. I've got friends of mine that go to the doctor to try to find something wrong with them. I know that there's something wrong with me. The doctors just haven't found it. My God, take that information and run. They didn't find anything wrong. Praise God. Come out of the doctor's office. What did they say? They didn't find anything, but I know it's there. We ain't nobody in here like that, but we all know somebody that's like that, right? Stop trying to look for the bad and start looking for the good. And the more you look for the good, the more good you'll find in your life. Simple, see? I told you. Very simple. Look for the things of God. Remember what God's done in your life. Don't be distracted by what the enemy's trying to put in front of you right now. Don't believe in what you see in front of you. Believe in what's inside of you. Don't focus on what, you know, was it Joshua and Caleb that went into the promised land with the 10 other spies? They went into that promised land and their best buds, 10 of them, came back and they said, we're not able to do this. There's giants in the land. And the Bible says that they said this, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. We didn't see ourselves as overtaking them. We saw ourselves as being defeated by them. Sounds like a lot of church people today. Well, I know that God can heal, but do you believe that He will? Well, I know that He can. It's not what I asked. Here these 10 spies came back and they said, we're not able to do this. We're like grasshoppers in our own sight. And the Bible says that Joshua and Caleb got so angry. Read it in the Bible. It's in Exodus. He said that it got so angry that they ripped their clothes. That's an angry preacher right there. My God, I wish you'd get what I'm telling. Like Hulk Hogan. You know what I'm saying? Ripping their clothes. They got so angry because of the negativity that they were talking about. Can I tell you that you've got to get angry in your heart when the devil comes up against you? You've got to get angry and you've got to get mad at the devil. The Bible says that the kingdom suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. You've got to get violent with the devil. You've got to get angry with the devil. The Bible says that they rent their clothes. They stripped their clothes off of them. They were so angry. And they said, we are well able. We are well able to take this giant. Everybody else is focusing on the giant. Joshua and Caleb was focusing on the spoils. Oh, I know that the giants were big. But did you see the size of those grapes? My God, did you see the lakes of honey? I ain't worried about them giants. I'm looking about what we're going to have after we defeat those things. Stop focusing on the battle. Start focusing on the victory. Stop focusing on the battle that's in front of you. Start looking beyond that to the victory that God's promised you. You see, when God's given you a promise that you can go and do what He's told you to do, that's all the information you need. You don't have to be worried about money. You don't have to worry about health. You don't have to worry about anything because God's promised you this is yours. Talk to me, Joshua. He said, Joshua, God told Joshua, He said, I've already shut this city up and I've already given the king and all the mighty men. They belong to you. The city belongs to you. All you got to do is just walk through the instructions. The city belongs to you. What does that have to do with anything? It has everything to do with the fact of this. You have to remember what God has done in your life to help you with the challenges that you face today. You cannot throw in the towel today. You're this close to your breakthrough. You're this close to having what God's promised you. You're this close to having everything that God's promised you in your life. Now, it might not be this year. It might be 5 years down the road. But you're still closer today than you were before. If you just will not stop. You will not quit. Things are bad in my life, but I remember the things that God's done. What side of the butt are you living on? What side? What side are you choosing to stay on? I don't like negativity around me. I've got a lot of people that try to be negative around me and I walk away from them. I don't have anything to say. Now, I'm not rude. Sometimes I am. Sometimes people need a little rudeness to shake them out of that mindset. And I don't want negativity around me because God's done too many good things in my life. He's done way too many good things for me to be negative about my life. I'm blessed today. I'm blessed because God's blessed me. I'm wealthy because God's given me wealth. Again, not talking about money. Talking about life. I'm talking about health. I've got a beautiful daughter that's just about to graduate in college next year. Loves God with all of her heart. Pursuing her heart in ministry right now. She's not doing what I do in ministry, but I don't care about that. I want her to do what God's called her to do. Too many ministers I have seen that's tried to train their children to be what they are. God didn't call them to be what you are. Talk to me. John the Baptist was the son of a religious high priest. Smoke and the clothes and all the religious tradition. And what happened? His son was not anything like that. He ran out in the wilderness, eating locusts and honey. Looked like a wild man. Didn't even put clothes on half the time. Crazy. But yet God called him to announce the birth. To announce Jesus. He said, I'm going to baptize you here, but he's coming after me. I'm not even worthy to lace his shoes. God chose that wild man. You understand? God didn't call your child to be like you. The point I'm making is that I'm wealthy in love because I've got a beautiful daughter that's pursuing her dreams in Christ. I've got a beautiful mother that's still working in ministry. Not quite as much as she used to, but she's still working in ministry doing what God's called her to do. Writing songs, writing books, singing. I've got a beautiful wife that God blessed me with that I didn't even want. That's the truth. I didn't. I say it everywhere I go. I didn't want to get married. I had my daughter. I had my mother. I said I didn't need another woman telling me what to do. I didn't want it. Everybody was saying, you need a wife. No, I don't. I'm happy. I'm happy in my life. I don't need somebody to make me happy. I'm already happy. I'm happy. I'm content in my life. But the Lord said, no, I want you to be married. But I'm going to bring the right person into your life. Long story, I won't get into it. But I'm wealthy because I've got her in my life. She brings so much into my life that I did not even know that I needed. Oh, I was happy. I was good. But she brought something into my life that I can't even explain what I needed, what it was. She made me feel like a man. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way like y'all are talking about. I'm saying she made me feel like that. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I know she's in my corner. She loves me, and that's all that matters. For years, I would say, oh, I wonder if they liked me. Do they like me? I hope they liked me. I don't know. Now I'm just like, praise God, I'm going to do what I got to do because I get to go home to a person that loves me no matter what. It brought confidence into my life that I didn't have before. The point I'm making is you have to remember what God has brought into your life. No matter what's in front of you, greater things are ahead of you if you'll remember what God's done. He's faithful to continue that in your life. Can you say amen? Stand to your feet this morning. I hope you got something out of what I said. It's not what I had planned to say this morning. I'm honest with you. It's not what I had intended on saying this morning. But thank Pastor Sean for changing my mind. When he got up there and began to talk, the Spirit of God began to download some things in my heart and my spirit. Said, I want you to go in this direction. But Lord, I didn't prepare for that. I didn't prepare for that sermon. I didn't prepare for that message. I don't care. I want this, what I want you to say. What side of the butt are you living on today? Now, I know that has the potential of being funny, but I'm being serious about it. What side of life are you living on? Are you living in a negative thought process? Or are you living in a positive thought process? You want scientific proof? Let me give you some scientific proof. They've proven scientifically that pessimists die quicker than optimists. Person that has pessimistic attitude in life will not have happiness in their life. They can't find it. They've got an Eeyore spirit on them. Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Low as me. I can't ever catch a break in life. I've lost my tail. It's raining everywhere I go. Yeah, because you keep that dark cloud over your head every day. It ain't raining anywhere else outside of your perimeter. You just got your mind so caught up in that rain. You can't get out of it. Don't be like Eeyore. Be like Tigger. Don't be like Eeyore. Be like Tigger. Be bouncy. Wonderful thing about Tiggers. Tigger's a wonderful thing. Tails are made of the rubber. Or their heads are made of rubber. Tails are made of the spring. They bouncy, 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 bouncy. Fun, 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 fun. The wonderful thing about Tiggers is that I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Happy. Happy. Optimistic. God's good to you. He's given you great things. And He's going to give you greater things. He's been good to you. Lift your hands and say, God's been good to me. Come on, shout it loud. God's been good to me.
Amen.
He's been very good to me. Hallelujah. Give me the key of G. Now, I'm going to have to tell you the chords. It's a song that I learned in Mexico. It's very simple. It's G, God, A minor, is so good to me. D, God, C, is so good to me. G, E minor, God, very simple. A minor, is so good.